Welcome to The Lay Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. We're learning what the Old Testament taught concerning the promised Messiah. The Old Testament is divided into three sections. This week, we'll be looking at the section called The Writings. Today, Tom Murray will discuss the promised eternal king that will come from the line of King David and will reign over an eternal kingdom. Keep listening.
Well, welcome back to our broadcast in the lay disciple study of the scriptures that Jesus used from the Old Testament to witness to the two on the road to Emmaus on the resurrection morning all the things concerning the Messiah that they should have known from the Old Testament. And we've completed the proof that Jesus used from Moses and from the prophets. And today we're going to begin by looking at the third segment of Hebrew Scripture, which is known as the Writings. And our first passage that we're going to look at comes from the book of 1 Chronicles, and it has to do with chapter 17, verses 10, the latter part of verse 10, all the way to verse 14. Now, this particular passage deals with the covenant that God made with David while he was king of the nation of Israel. So let me read to you what God said to David. "Moreover," he said, "I tell you, David, that the Lord will build a house for you. And it shall come about, when your days are fulfilled, that you must go to be with your fathers in death. And then I will set up one of your descendants after you, who shall be one of your sons. And I will establish his kingdom. He shall build for me a house, and I will establish his throne forever," David, not just temporarily. "And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. I will not take my loving kindness away from him, as I took it from him who was before you," that is, Saul was before David, "but I will settle him in my house, and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever." Now, so far in our study about what the Old Testament reveals about the Messiah, we have encountered the covenant that God made with Adam after he fell, when God said in Genesis 3:15, "I will provide a redeemer who will crush the serpent's head." Later in Genesis, we ran into the covenant that God made with Abraham, where he promised Abraham that from his seed, that is, a Jewish descendant of Abraham, would one day be the Redeemer that he had promised in Genesis 3:15, and we found that in Genesis 22, verse 18. Now, in total, in your Bible, there are eight covenants that are specifically mentioned in Scripture. Now, all eight of them are very crucial to understanding the Messiah and how Christ ties in and fulfills all the messianic promises. And one of those crucial and most crucial covenants is the covenant God made with David. Now, that covenant is found in two different places in Scripture. The first place concentrates on David's immediate son, which would be Solomon, because Solomon is the one who followed David. And the second part of this covenant that God made with David deals with David's distant son way down in time, who would be the Messiah, because Solomon's throne would not be forever, but the Messiah, the son of David out in the future, who would come from his family, and Jesus was from the house of David, his throne would be established forever. Now, the first passage that we want to look about, where it deals with David's immediate son following him, or Solomon, is found in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11b to 16. "And the Lord also declares to you, David, that the Lord will make a house for you." This almost sounds like what we read in 1 Chronicles. When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you who will come forth from you and will establish his kingdom. And he, that is your immediate son, Solomon, shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. Now when he, that is Solomon, commits iniquity, because David's greater son, the Messiah, which would come down in the distance, could never commit iniquity, he was sinless. He says, when he, that is your son Solomon, commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and with the strokes of the son of men. But my loving kindness shall never depart from Solomon. As I took away the throne from Saul, your predecessor David, whom I removed from before you, and your house, David, and your kingdom, or your throne and your dynasty, shall endure before me forever, and your throne shall be established forever. Why? Because eventually David's son in the distance, that is, God incarnate in the person of the Messiah Jesus, would be an eternal person who is the eternal King of Israel. And therefore, because you have an eternal person, you have an eternal kingdom, and this king is sinless from birth, from conception. So the passage in 2 Samuel 7 deals with a son that is going to come from David's loins, a son who's going to be David's immediate successor, and God promises three things concerning this part of the covenant concerning his son Solomon. He says, I'm going to set up, David, in this covenant an eternal house or a dynasty, and I'm going to set up an eternal kingdom and an eternal throne. Now, as an immediate proof of God's faithfulness to this covenant with David, David's line is going to be maintained by a son who will build the temple, which David himself was not permitted to be built, to build by God. Now this, of course, is going to be the temple that Solomon built. And when his son Solomon sins, God says, David, Solomon indeed will sin, but when he does, I won't remove him or end your Davidic throne or dynasty. I will discipline him, but I will not remove him. And Solomon did indeed fall into idolatry during his reign, and he was disciplined by God, but the covenant that God made with David and God's covenant love will remain with Solomon even though he's disciplined. Now let's get back to the 1 Chronicles passage where we started today's broadcast, and I want to focus in on verse 14, or the last verse. But I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. Now this passage in Chronicles is very similar to the passage in 2 Samuel 7. But there are significant differences. In the 2 Samuel passage, the son is the immediate next generation of David. But in the 1 Chronicles, he is a distant son of David to be born out in time. In 2 Samuel, the son, the immediate son, will be born a sinner and will need to be disciplined. That's Solomon. But in the 1 Chronicles passage, the son is not a sinner, and therefore he will not have to be disciplined. And in the 1 Chronicle passage, there is no mention of sin or discipline. In the 2 Samuel passage, the reference is to Solomon, but in the 1 Chronicles passage, the reference is clearly to the Messiah. Now, the three promises that God made in 2 Samuel of an eternal dynasty, an eternal kingdom, and an eternal throne, those three promises are also repeated in the First Chronicles. But a fourth promise is also added in the First Chronicle passage, and that is that this son will be an eternal son. I will settle him in my house forever. Now, David's line will eventually culminate in the birth of an eternal person whose eternality will guarantee David's dynasty and his kingdom and his throne forever. Now, previously, the seed was to be born of a woman, Abraham, Jacob, and finally from Judah. Now we're told from which family within the tribe of Judah the seed would come, the family of David. So the Messiah, from this amount of information, was to be a son of David. Now this automatically requires that the Messiah had to come prior to the year 70 AD, since in that year all of Israel's genealogical records were destroyed when the temple was totally destroyed by the Romans. Within just a few decades after 70 AD, it was impossible to prove who was a son of David and who was not. Now, there's one further limitation placed upon the descent of the Messiah. We're told in this First Chronicle passage that he will come from one of David's sons. But in the prophet Jeremiah, in chapter 22, verses 24 to 30, we are told that one of the family of David was cursed by the prophet Jeremiah, and that person, a son of David, in the line of David, was excluded from ever being the king of Israel. Now, this is the family of a man named Coniah, or also called Jeconiah. Now, he also is referred to as Jehoiakim. Now, because of the kind of man that he was in the days of Jeremiah, God pronounced a curse on Coniah. And the curse is in Jeremiah 22:30, and it says that no descendant of Coniah or Jeconiah will ever have the right to sit on the throne of David. So Messiah, therefore, had to be born a son of David, but he could not come through the line of Jeconiah. That's a very important point for you to remember. Now, we only have about 30 seconds left in this broadcast, and I do want to finish about why this is so relevant to Jesus being the Messiah, but we'll have to take that up in our next broadcast. I hope you'll take the time to contact our office at 685-3385 or email us to let us know if you're enjoying these broadcasts and growing from what we're teaching. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, friend, for listening. I'd like to encourage you to visit our brand new website at www.milktomeat.org. While there, you can sign up for a free newsletter, hear the radio programs, and correspond with us through email. Again, the address is www.milktomeat.org. And if you have any questions or want to order a tape of the program, call us at 901-685-3385. Outside Memphis, call toll-free 866-685-3385. And we'll see you tomorrow, right here for The Lay Disciple.